This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
I'm Steve Inskeep. When violence erupted in western China on Sunday, the Chinese government blamed someone who wasn't even there. Here's how an anchor on state-controlled China Central Television put it.
Initial investigations show the violence was masterminded by the separatist World Uyghur Congress led by Rabia Kadir.
Before Beijing branded Rabia Kadir a public enemy, she was a business tycoon in western China. After criticizing the government's treatment of its Uyghur minority, Kadir spent more than 5 years in prison. She now works in Washington, D.C., where NPR's Frank Langfitt talked with her yesterday.
Rabia Kadir operates out of a tiny office just across from the White House. With a handful of staff, she says she fights for the freedom of her fellow Uyghurs, thousands of miles away in China's sprawling northwest. Kadir says the Chinese government is flooding her homeland with ethnic Han Chinese, who are taking the best jobs and overwhelming Uyghur culture.
This is the Chinese intention, to destroy Uyghur culture. And in addition to destroying the Uyghur culture, they are now killing Uyghurs.
Uyghurs are a Turkic minority who live in China's Xinjiang Autonomous Region. A Uyghur demonstration in Urumqi, the regional capital, turned into a riot last weekend. The government says more than 150 people were killed. Chinese officials say Kadir wants to split Xinjiang from China. State television says she ordered the uprising and encouraged violence using code words.
Rabia Kadir has recently been instigating unrest via the internet, calling on the outlaws to be braver and to do something big.
Kadir says she did call for global protests after Han Chinese killed Uyghurs late last month in a factory on the coast. But she says the recent demonstrations in Urumqi were homegrown.
I think it was spontaneous, a reaction of the people. Maybe my voice also gave some impetus.
And she insists she's never encouraged violence.
I know very well this is not the right way, and it will give Chinese authorities a very good excuse to crack down.
Rabia Kadir is not a lifelong rabble-rouser. In fact, she was once among China's best-known businesswomen. She began as a laundress, then made money trading everything from hats to sunflower seeds. She made a reputation and fortune importing steel from Kazakhstan and trading goods throughout Central Asia. The government saw Kadir as living proof Uyghurs could prosper, even become millionaires under Chinese rule. The regime even gave her a seat on one of its highest consultative bodies.
Because of my popularity among my people, Chinese government tried to promote me and use me and draw me to their side.
Kadir says that all changed a dozen years ago. In 1997, police cracked down on a Uyghur demonstration in the town of Yining that left 10 dead. Kadir said she criticized the violence in a speech before top officials in Beijing.
The Chinese leaders said, "You did a good job." And then immediately after I landed in Urumqi, I was stripped of all my official positions.
A reporter for China Central Television picks up the story from there.
In March 2000, Rabia Kadir was sentenced to 8 years in prison by the Xinjiang Intermediate Court for providing national intelligence to overseas organizations.
Actually, she was caught trying to give Chinese newspaper clippings to visiting U.S. congressional staff. But Drew Gladney says Kadir's real crime was probably being too outspoken and pushing the boundaries of China's authoritarian system. Gladney is an expert on Chinese minorities and a professor at Pomona College in Southern California.
I think in some ways, because of her increasing public position and her wealth, she became a threat.
Beijing released Kadir from prison early in 2005. And again, she's become a thorn in the government's side. At 62, the diminutive mother of 11 shows no sign of letting up. In recent days, Kadir has been in constant media interviews, advocating for the rights of Uyghurs, just as she used to back home in China. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.